and welcome back to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime using the free episode rule. I'm your host, Nikki, and joining me are Ace.
Hello.
And Rhodes.
Hiya.
Before we get into the episode, I just want to do a quick little sort of, I guess, PSA note. Due to the heat wave currently hitting the UK, we are recording this episode and the subsequent episode at a different time than we usually do. So apologies in advance if there's any weird background noises or you can hear our fans. It is unbearably hot, but we're going to power through and talk about Peach Boy Riverside, the first show of the Summer 21 lineup to hit three episodes. And what a three episodes it was. For anyone who's unfamiliar, Peach Boy Riverside is based on a manga of the same name. I'm right in thinking as well that none of us actually even heard of this series before it came up on the list. Is that correct?
Correct.
Well, without further ado, let's jump straight in. Who wants to start? Who's got some thoughts about those first three episodes?
Right. I've got one thing that we need to touch on in this first episode, right? And that is that there were three massive animals in this episode. One was a giant chicken. One was a giant walrus. And the other one was a huge sex toy squid. Right? If any of you want to just, like, do I need to look into that? Do they mean things, those animals? I don't think they do.
Peach Boy Riverside, by the choice of the director, is doing something really peculiar in that it's airing out of order. But even the chronological order in which the episodes air isn't the full story. My understanding is that they've done some shifting of the plot to basically have it focus on Sally. Because I think the point is so that the anime ends in line with the manga, and so it doesn't just have like an anime-only ending. But it's kind of weird because the first episode starts completely in the middle of nowhere and there's not really any explanation for anything. It's like you've joined a few episodes in because apparently the fourth episode that airs is actually the first episode. So I think we technically watched episode 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
Well, that's not very handy because one of my notes was wondering what happened between the crater and now this guy is suddenly in a martial arts tournament.
Well, he's trying to earn 300 pieces of gold so he can rebuild the kingdom. Clearly, Ace.
With 300 pieces of gold.
Yeah.
Actually, sorry. No, correction. The third episode, we don't actually know if that's the fourth episode chronologically, so we might have actually watched 2, 3, and 5.
This summarizes it all, doesn't it? You know, I need to go back to the squid, right? I need to go back to just prior to the squid appearing in episode 1. Yeah. This is the only quote that I've written down from the whole three episodes I watched. There's genuinely a line from an actual child in the show where he says, "Check out the knockers on her."
I'd forgotten about that.
Right. And all I just remember reading it and I was like, he just said, "Check out the knockers on her." And I looked at his little face and I was like, that's genuinely a 10-year-old boy. If you asked me as a 10-year-old boy what knockers were, I would have thought about that thing that were on doors. Where you knock on. I think they are called knockers, actually. So I would have been correct.
Well, that's... Was it a mistranslation or was it translated like that way because he said a comedy word that wouldn't have made sense in context in English?
He's still talking about her chest, which for...
Yes.
Okay, let's go back to... Let's go back a second. I want to touch on what Rhodes has mentioned with the squid because let me give context to the listeners. There is no context, actually, like... They're walking through like a...
There is no context.
There is no context, yeah. They're walking through a market, and all of it, they're going to get lunch or something, and all of a sudden, the main character, Sally, sees an octopus, and then we just immediately get, like a couple of seconds of, like, what is basically, like, a hentai scene? And she's, like, shivers, and we're like, we have no idea why. Did something happen?
It's not even starring her, is it? That wasn't her. It had a different hairstyle.
I mean, my eyes were on the squid.
No, but... This is the thing, is I think she had different hair before the show starts, because in one of the flashbacks she has long hair, so it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, so this could be something that's happened to her.
We can't wait to find out in the first episode where she is attacked by a squid, I assume.
Chronologically first, but it's actually going to show just before the finale.
It's weird as well, because the first episode, the first, like, 5 minutes really want you to be aware of the fact that the protagonist, at least for the anime, there's technically two protagonists. I looked into it a little bit, and after watching the episodes, apparently in the manga, it jumps between the two. There's two protagonists, and they're like trying to she's trying to find the other one, and at some point they meet up. We kind of get that in the third episode, but apparently the manga does a better job of jumping between the two perspectives. Regardless, the first 5 minutes of the first episode that aired, that's going to get confusing. Even though it's just her and a rabbit walking through the... Oh, yeah, there's a rabbit person, by the way. They're walking through the woods. All the camera angles are like, look at her butt, look at her chest. Just remember, you're watching a female protagonist. Did you know she has boobs? Did you know that? 10-year-old kid points at boobs. Like, it's just a constant reminder that it's like, there's a female character and we've made her sexy. She looks like she's wearing, like, leather pants as well, which is the weirdest thing.
Yeah, don't you like battle in latex? I battle in latex.
Unless it's like a weird... Is it one of those cases where it's like... It's got like a +5 to defense, but like -1 to style.
Maybe she's like, maybe it's not leather or latex. Maybe she's just before every scene she's in, maybe she's just dipped her lower half in like a pool of water and she's just wet.
I should probably actually take a second to point out that the concept of the show is that basically they're like, you've got demons or Oni, and then you've got humans and they're at war. And you've got this guy who everyone refers to as Peach Boy, who is just going around murdering all the demons because that's just what he wants to do. And yeah. She's trying to find him because something happened. We don't know what it was yet. But she seems to have the power, but only one of her eyes turns into a peach. No, seriously. And when it happens, she doesn't seem to really know what's going on, but she becomes OP, as we see at the end of the first episode and then ties into the second. And
yeah.
That's kind of where the show got interesting. I kind of feel like they should have just not had the first half of the first episode, because like, I don't care about her walking.
Walking in, she's walking in the woods, she meets the bunny person, and then they go to a town, and the town kicks them out because of the bunny person, and then they get arrested and meet the ogre.
Oh yeah, and it's like, as you said, it's the giant like walrus and a human like ogre, who, after using an energy attack to destroy... I realized as well, I didn't even say spoiler warning. What am I saying? You kind of get the gist that we're going to spoil the first 3 episodes. After using an energy attack, she turns into a kid because she used too much power.
Yeah, that's really bizarre, isn't it? Like, I've used too much power, I've devolved. Like, what?
I have a couple of notes about that. The Peach Boy did the really annoying, oh, I'll wait until you're at full power eye roll, and then she got to full power. She used the energy blast attack again. It did no damage because, of course, it wouldn't. This is one of the protagonists, and then she's a child again. So then the Peach Boy takes her ogre power by stabbing her in the eye, her ogre eye, and taking her ogre horn. But now she's not a child anymore.
Also, he kicks a child in the face repeatedly. Like, he stabs a child.
That was the best bit of the 3 episodes for me. I would also stab a child.
First time we meet Peach Boy is when he cuts down that massive tree that the ogre's sitting against. And then that felled tree just disappears. That tree stump disappears. I was looking for it in all the scenes after that. It was nowhere to be found.
Very odd. For me, I thought the first episode was pretty weak. I wasn't really maybe not looking forward to it, it's the wrong word, but I wasn't expecting it to become interesting, because I was like, this first episode is... It felt like you already said, Nikki, that like you weren't watching episode one, you were watching a later episode in the series, but it was almost like they picked a filler episode. Like, so much of it, I was just like, this isn't clicking with me, but that's about halfway through the second episode. It actually starts getting quite interesting. Like, it starts touching on the ogres more, and suddenly it's not just big things that look ugly and rush smash. That, you know, there's actual like complexities to them. You know, you add Peach Boy into it and how they're going around just killing whatever they want. And I was actually kind of like, you know, now they've put like the tits away and focused on creating characters and stories. There's something interesting to work here.
One of the lines in the first episode was, it seemed to suggest that we should know what a Peach Boy is, because the voiceover says that the legends say that there's only one Peach Boy, but what if there were more? And it's like, oh, what legends? What's a Peach Boy? And by episode 3, we still don't know what a Peach Boy is. someone who kills ogres gets really powered up.
One of his boys who like peaches.
And in the third episode, there was that gathering of the 100 ogres, and it seemed to be, oh, they're talking about Peach Boy, and they're going to tell us what? No, not going to tell us what Peach Boy is.
I like the 100 ogre gathering, because there's a bit in it where one of them's like, this is like the 627th annual 100 ogre gathering. And then, like, someone's like, oh, I feel like there's less people this year. And then someone just off the cuff is like, oh, there's less people every year. Like, they just hadn't noticed until that moment. Did it 100 ogre gathering, or did it like 15 of them? I don't know.
100 ogre gathering, because they were all human shape. Set and the giant chicken, not human shape. Where are the non-human shaped ogres?
I thought the chicken wasn't an ogre. I thought it was just... Oh, no, wait, because that's the thing, isn't it? Is an ogre is just...
Oh, no, yes, it's a monster, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
They referred to it as a monster, yeah.
I thought it was an ogre.
See, this is the thing. Like, the impression I got is that, like, they just used ogre as a general term to refer to, essentially, like... Because that's the weird thing as well, is, like, in the description and stuff, they refer to them as Oni, which is demon, but then in the show, they're referred to as ogres. And so I don't know if there's like a bit of a crossover there or a mistranslation.
I believe that they went with ogre for the translation because, as I say, Oni can be translated a couple of ways.
I think, just to touch back on what Rhodes just said, like, the first episode, and again, we're talking about the first episode that aired, is quite weak, but the sort of like last couple of minutes were definitely interesting, especially when she like kind of awakens her beach power, if you will, and just like turns into a bit of a badass. Also, I'm a sucker for that kind of like weird sadistic face. I like that. Episode 3, although nothing really happens, it's more just like plot development. The cliffhanger at the end of episode 3, I really liked. And like, because essentially, like, you kind of start thinking like, oh, Peach Boy is good. And like, she wants to be like Peach Boy. She wants to kill the ogres. But then she clearly doesn't, because she helps one of them. She's got the demi-human bunny with her. Also, that's the thing. Demi-humans are also another race, and we've only seen one. And like at the end of the third episode, she's given this choice, which is like she can join Peach Boy and kill all the ogres. And there seems to be... She has an interest in Peach Boy. I'm assuming it's romantic, but we don't actually know yet. Or she can join a priest ogre and apparently unify ogres and humankind, which is kind of what she is trying to do anyway. And I liked that that's kind of how that ended. And I guess the next episode will be it'll be the first. So it'll be the give us context to everything.
My note was decent cliffhanger. So I agree. I did like that cliffhanger.
I thought there was, there was two, because obviously in the second episode, you had the kingdom being blown up where it ends. And I think, I guess for me, like that's what makes a show good. Obviously, you'd have to do this every episode because it'd get a bit tiring, but there's a reason to tune in and like what's going to happen next. And they've done it two very different good cliffhangers there, because you had the kingdom being destroyed and you're kind of like, well, that's pretty fucking severe. But then the end of the third episode was kind of like, I don't want to say a moral choice for her, but she was put in a dilemma, and you're interested to see if she picks the old friend and or the guy who seemingly wants to offer peace. So you saw two cliffhangers that will make you want to watch the next episodes, but were very different in how they were delivered.
It's weird as well, because especially like how episode 2 ends with the city being destroyed, and then we cut to the beginning of episode 3, which we don't know if it is actually episode 3 or 4, and they're just in a fighting tournament. There's clearly something we've missed, and it's like that transition was kind of disappointing because that cliffhanger was so good. I can understand now, after the ending of the third episode, why we might have a flashback episode, because then it would make more sense as to like her decision that she's obviously going to make.
Yeah.
But also, like in the third episode, they introduce so many more characters. There's a nun. There's a girl who can like create demons. There's the priest guy. Also, can we just take a second to appreciate there's a talking dog in the second episode that gets like 30 seconds of screen time, and it's not come back in the third episode?
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to say, who's the nun? Because the dude was traveling with a wolf and nobody else.
I have it down as, has a fucking wolf. Literally all I wrote down for that.
Plus point for wolf.
Plus point for wolf. I really like Hawthorne. I think he's great. He's a himbo, isn't he? He's me.
I think that the nun is another former ogre.
Yes.
Right. So I did pick up on something they said or a context clue or something.
She said something like, you took my powers and you blah, 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 just leaving sort of thing. But the wolf, I don't know, like the wolf just seems to have vanished. Like he was like, in the second episode, he takes an ogre's power and the wolf's just like, hey, I'm hungry. And he's like, you didn't do anything. And then we never see the wolf again. So I assume he ate the wolf.
He also says, eat grass.
Yes.
Tells the wolf to eat grass.
I love that, like, the quotes that we're pulling out are just like the dumbest things.
It could have been a translation thing. They could have might not known what to put in, so they were like, tell him to eat grass. Tell him to compliment her knockers. You know.
Yeah. I mean, that is, bearing in mind the show is airing on Crunchyroll, so it's a Crunchyroll translation. There have been cases in the past where Crunchyroll, the translation team, have not actually had very long to do the translations. I can't think of the name of the show, but there was one a few years back where the translation was just horrible. So you never know. It could have been something like that. But I mean, for the most part, it holds up. I guess a question I'm going to throw to the two of you is, what did you think about the production quality in terms of the voice acting, the animation, ignoring things like the knockers?
I thought it was okay. I don't think we've seen enough like big fights, so to speak, to judge like that kind of level of quality. But it's good. Like, it's adequate. There's not been a point where I was watching it, I thought, oh God, that looks a bit rough. And I've always said that when it comes to Japanese voice acting, like, unless it's really bad, it's hard for me to gauge it as being bad, because when they're speaking a language you don't know, it's hard to criticize it as well as you would if it was in English. Yeah,
we don't know if they're slurring every other word.
Yeah, exactly. But like, it's one of them. It's not, as with everything. Like, if it was obviously bad, it'd be obviously bad. But it's not obviously bad. So I would say that the voice acting is fine, and the overall quality of it is definitely good. It's not excellent, because I guess within three episodes, it's not had enough opportunities to show its excellence. It's not had those moments where it can push itself and show that it's a great level. But I've not seen Fright yet, but I've not sat there and thought, oh, that was a bit below par, or that was a bit, like, took me out of the mood a little bit.
Touching back on voice acting, I did like that the ogre who has the massive laser has an adult voice when she can use the laser, and a kid voice when she's a kid, and the voice she's currently got is kind of in the middle, because she's not fully adult, and obviously she's not a kid. I did like the decision there.
But I think for the most part, like, it does hold up. I felt like there was a few moments where, like, there were some weird run animations. It may have been CG, I couldn't really tell, but it was so quick it didn't necessarily ruin the experience. Other than, like, those opening shots where they're just like, look at her ass. I don't know why I sung that.
Look at her knockers.
If for the most part, it was good. Like, camera angles were good. I think the quick action scenes we've seen have been reasonable. Sound quality, sound effects have been quite nice.
Quite gory as well, aren't they? Very bloody.
That really caught me off guard, actually, in the first episode. Because, like, Set, the demon, comes in and then just immediately, like, one-shots a bunch of guards. And it's not just, like, they hit them and they're dead. It's like, they hit them, and then we get to see their corpses spewing blood, and it's like, oh, okay, there's some like weight behind that blood. It's very, very squelchy, and like, oh, it's gross, but in a great way. But it does kind of come out of nowhere.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
What you said, Rhodes, about there not being very many fight sequences so far, it's because it's always been so one sided.
Yeah, definitely.
The ogres destroying the normal humans, the Peach Boy just destroying the ogres. Nobody is on par with one another.
Yeah,
the longest action sequence we've seen is actually in the opening. Like, the actual opening. No, not even. Well, maybe. But, like, in the opening sequence, there's, like, a couple of seconds of Peach Boy, like, slicing a few enemies, and that might be the most we've seen him do in the entire three episodes. But you are right, the chicken was definitely... But that was the bunny. The bunny just, like, what, two shots at?
All of the bunny's actions are brilliant. Like, because the bunny just fights with some kind of, like, martial arts. And that always looks great. And a hammer. Oh, the hammer is so comical, isn't it? It's like watching, like, an arcade cabinet game. Like, it's... Oh, but every time, what's her name, Frau, gets that fucking hammer out. I just expect to hear boop, 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 or something like, I don't know. It's great. Yeah.
I think Frau is probably the best character, but they are the comic relief, I feel. I do quite like the nun they introduced in the third episode, just because, like, the whole martial art tournament's going on, and you know, Peach Boy's got no money, so you're led to believe that he's in the tournament, but then all of a sudden it's the nun, and she just, like, punches a dude in the face and just knocks him clean out.
Yeah, I assume about that. I assume the tournament will end with the nun versus Hawthorne.
Yeah. As you say, when they first introduced, Peach Boy talking about the tournament, I thought, it's going to end with Hawthorne versus Peach Boy. But nope, subverted.
Hawthorne is my favourite. Just want to re-clarify that.
Hawthorne is your favourite. Oh, Hawthorne's great. It's weird because, like, Hawthorne sees their city get destroyed. They, like, fall to their knees, and then suddenly they're in a tournament and they seem happy and cheery. And it's like, no, go back. I want to see Hawthorne, like, breaking down. Like, that's what I want.
He was still holding the person's hand.
Oh yeah.
I assume it's one of those situations where he's going to have that character of, like, nothing gets him down. He, you know, like, something bad happens and he'll just smile and persevere, sort of thing. I imagine that's the trope they'll go for him, which is probably going to be somewhat one-dimensional, but in a fucking anime with budding people.
it's gonna be interesting, because, like, in the, I think it's either the intro or the outro, it shows, like, Sally with the two people either side, like, and, you know, that insinuates that, like, she's gonna make that choice. But then it shows, like, a bunch of the different characters kind of, like, all grouped together, and it's like what I assume is, like, Peach Boy's group, then you've got the ogre group, and then you've got the three who are with Sally, and I'm kind of like, but they look quite angry, and so I'm watching that, I'm like, are they gonna willingly, like, depending on who she chooses, because you gotta bear in mind, like, one's a demi-human, one's a human whose entire city was destroyed by a demon, and then you've got a demon who lost their power because of Beach Boy. So I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, what is it? It's 12 episodes this season, isn't it?
It's confirmed as 12 episodes.
I imagine they'll probably set up the side versus side, like, for the end of the season. It seems like, from what I've read, the manga seems quite popular, so I imagine I'll probably get a second season. I've seen more people speak of this anime than anything else so far, so it seems like it is the most popular one. So I can't see why it wouldn't. Also, the opening song is an absolute banger. Just want to throw that one out there. Absolute banger.
I'm not too keen on it, but I can see why.
It's got a guitar. That music.
Yeah, it's an anime intro. Of course it has a guitar.
Look, my ears just like the sounds. I can't explain it. I'm musically ungifted. I don't know what the opposite of gifted is.
Giftless. I like an anime opening with piano.
True. I like the joke with anime intros is the intro is always hype and the ending is always sadness. Unless it's Tokyo Ghoul, in which case it was sadness for both of them.
I mean, to be fair, it was just two seasons of sadness. The first one because it's a sad first season, and the second one because it's just miserably depressing because of how bad it is. Yeah. So,
just to go back a second, as we mentioned, Peach Boy Riverside is based on a manga. Interestingly, I've just double checked. It was a web manga that started in 2008, which is still going. And then there's the actual published manga, which started in 2015. But interestingly, that's counted as a remake. So I'm not too sure what's going on there. And also having a look, the fourth airing episode is chronologically the first. The third airing episode is still to be confirmed where it fits in chronologically. But it wasn't the fourth chronological episode, as we suspected. I've just confirmed that. So that's good.
Nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
All right, so here's the important question, though. Now, obviously, we're going to save our final scores and, like, reveals if we kept watching and stuff for the end of season recap. But based on the first three episodes, Peach Boy Riverside, is it a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a meh? Ace.
It's a meh for me. It's tonally all over the place so far. I'll reserve judgment for the finale. It's not an instant drop.
No, that's somewhat positive, I suppose. How about you, Rhodes?
I'm with Ace. It's a meh because I think it's pulling what it wants to be together, and it's becoming interesting. And when there's only 12 episodes, I feel like I'm a quarter of the way through. So you may as well watch Dune 9 at this point if it's okay. My only concern of that first episode is so all over the place with things that I don't like. It didn't make sense and was so pointless being there that I'm worried that it may just come back to bite people. Like it might just appear randomly, and like those kind of things are going to ruin the whole thing. Well, not ruin the whole thing, but will make the whole experience lesser for me. I think if it started with the quality of episode 2 and gone from there, I think it would have been a complete recommend. But the first episode shows that there is room for it to sort of wobble all around the place.
No, I'm inclined to agree. I think it's in my notes, a meh. It's totally all over the place. But that third episode did kind of swing it a little bit more to a thumbs up, but I'm going to keep it as a meh for now. Pretty much for the same reasons the two of you have said. But yeah, as we said, we'll give our final verdict and final scores at the end of season episode. But I think that'll do it for now. I think it's Peach Boy Riverside. A weird start to the season. But hey, plenty more shows to go. Thanks for joining me, Ace and Rhodes. And of course, thank you very much for listening. As mentioned before, we'll be releasing new episodes of the Pals Anime Lounge podcast every Thursday and Saturday at 8 p.m. UK time. So make sure to check back wherever you're listening to this one to catch the next episode. The next episode will, of course, be about Scarlet Nexus, so look forward to that.